My name is Rachel Kerniger, and I'm here today with Dot Martin to interview her about her memories of Brownsburg for the Brownsburg Museum Oral History Project. Dot, can you tell me your name and your date of birth?
Dorothy Miller Martin. I was born in August the 2nd, 1932.
Okay, let's stop and see if we pick that up. Okay, how long have you lived in the Brownsburg area?
All my life. Well, within 4 or 5 miles, I guess.
Okay, where were you born?
About, I guess, 5 miles north of Brownsburg, right off of 252, near the Rock Ridge Augusta line.
Okay, were you born at home?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Okay, and who were your parents? What were your parents' names?
William Waite Miller, and mother was Mabel Gertrude Moran Miller.
Okay. Did you have brothers and sisters?
I have an older sister, Elizabeth, an older brother, Milton, and a younger brother, Joe.
Okay.
And thank goodness they're all still living.
And you were the what?
I was the third child.
Okay. What brought your family to Brownsburg in the first place? Do you?
They were all born and raised in the area, and we lived at, it was my father's home place where we were born and grew up.
Okay. Is that the house that Milton lives in?
Mm-hmm. Milton still lives there. Mm-hmm. We were all born and raised there.
And who were your grandparents? What were their names? Drawing a blank.
Can you stop in a minute?
Mm-hmm.
Milton may say it's not right.
That's all right. Okay, we were talking about your grandparents. And you were going to give me the names of your grandparents.
As well as I can remember, my grandfather Miller was William Bosserman Miller, and grandmother was Elizabeth Jane Swartzel. That was on my father's side, and on mother's side, it was Joseph and Lena Moran.
And you say that the Millers have always lived?
Have always,
in the house.
To my knowledge, have lived up there with that on that farm. They were raised up there.
And where did your Moran grandparents live?
Well, different places in the area. You want me to mention those? One time they lived in the where the Starrett's live now, the old Starrett place. Granddaddy farmed there, and then the Reese house in Pisgah. And a couple other places he farmed around. And then I guess after my grandfather Moran died, Grandma moved to Brownsburg with two of the girls that were still at home.
And where did they live in Brownsburg?
What do you want to call that house?
Just tell me where it was located.
It's a big house behind the big Barnes antique shop now.
The first house.
First house on the right after you turn by the antique shop. Hayes
Creek Road.
Hayes Creek Road, yeah.
Were your grandparents farmers? How did they make their...
They were all farmers. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. Can you tell me what your first memory of Brownsburg was?
I think maybe Grandmother Miller had died and they sent me in there to stay. And I remember being in there a lot. I think that's where I got to be their little favorite granddaughter. And I found it was in there a lot. There was a first cousin whom they were raising was there at the time.
Was at the Moran, the grandmother's in Brownsburg.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And how old were you?
Not very old, I don't think. Not probably 3 or 4, maybe, or I'm not sure.
What kind of things did you do when they do you remember anything about the little town of Brownsburg at that?
Not age? Too much at that age. I think as we got older, you know, the house, you know, was in olden times. I remember they had the wood. Everybody was using wood stoves at that time, and they were very careful with them. And I guess a little later on, maybe I remember Miss Pet Berry, who was down behind them. And then,
is that the house where
the post office is? And then Mrs. Whipple, who would have been Fred and them's mother, lived across the street.
You're
I
remember.
Do remember those. And I think it would have been, that's about all my, you know, earliest memories then.
And you went to school in Brownsburg?
Yeah, I started school in Brownsburg in 1939. And Molly Sue Hull then, she was my first grade teacher. And I've always been very fond of her, and she and Fred were married the next year in 1940. And I've always thought a lot of her and been very close to her.
She was your first grade teacher?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Can you tell me, do you remember anything about your classes or any other teachers at the Brownsburg School?
I'm not sure about second grade. Third grade, Mrs. Elizabeth Williams was their teacher. And then a Mrs. Lowe came and taught us, Nellie Lowe, who's still living, by the way. And Mrs. Buchanan, Miss Frances Buchanan, had us in fifth grade. And part of the time our classes was in what the building that's been torn down, and then part of them were over in the old stucco building and still living. There was three classrooms at that time.
Mm-hmm. And that was elementary school?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then you...
The high school classes were upstairs.
Upstairs.
Mm-hmm. And when we finished seventh grade, then they had started the eighth grade classes, so we had to go to school 12 years then. There
mm-hmm.
was a class or two ahead of me that was the first one.
What kind of activities did you all have when you were in school that you participated in?
We had basketball, softball, baseball. We I don't think they played football at that time when I was in high school.
Did you play any sports?
Yeah, I liked, I wasn't very good at it, but I liked the basketball and I liked softball too. And I was always very fond of their, it's called weekday religious education classes now, but it was just, I think, a class of Bible. I was very fond of that. We had some really nice teachers. And I was also very interested in their home economics classes, which I guess I learned to do a lot of things.
And what kind of things did you do in home ec? What all did they teach you? Cooking?
We learned to cook, and we learned to sew, and we made, made a lot of my clothes. Learned to make them, and still like to sew and cook. Well, not cook much.
Did you learn to cook there, or did your mom?
I think I learned to cook more there, because at home I was outside more. I'm more of an outdoor person.
That's neat. That's interesting. What about the WRE classes? Did they bring teachers in like they do now, or was there a teacher there that took
the
class?
I think they had to bring people from away, because this woman didn't leave here. I don't know where she boarded, but they brought somebody in to teach them. And it was right in your regular classrooms. There was no problems like there are now.
So that program's been around for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Now.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember when that started?
Mm-mm. As far as I know, we had it the whole time we were in there. And I guess it went on, because when my kids were in there, Mrs. Bale, the minister's wife, at Old Providence started. So I know it's been...
Were they still teaching that in the classrooms?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They,
mm-hmm.
they were still
mm-hmm.
able to do that?
Yeah.
What year did you graduate?
In 1951.
And then what did you do?
We stayed at home. We had to work. They needed help on the farm.
So you just helped at home?
Helped at home.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
When did you get married?
In February the 18th, 1956.
And who was your husband?
Sidney B. Martin. who was also born and raised in the area.
Okay, and then what did you all do? What kind of work did you all stayed around here?
At the time we were married, he was living over here at the forks of the Raytheon Road and 252. His mom owned that place, and he was raising chickens, raising boars. And then he also went into the dairy business before he sold it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and you want to tell me about your children when they were born?
Yeah, we lived there, and like I said, farmed. And Mary Elizabeth, who we call Beth, was born in June the 21st of 1957. Want anything about them, or?
Yeah, just whatever you want to tell me.
And she is now married and lives in Montana with a husband, Steve, and three children, Catherine and Joe and Sarah. The next one was Teresa Kay, who came ill in 1973 and died. And then the next one was Mike, who's Cindy McClure, was born in January the 21st, 1961. And he is married to Pam Martin and lives in Buena Vista, has a daughter and son-in-law, Holly and Keith Ferguson, and a son, Philip, who's now a senior at Radford. And he is a broker for Keebler Cracker Company. And then the baby was Joseph Miller Martin, who was born in September of 1965, and who was killed in a lawnmower accident in August 1969.
And where did your family live after you got married and had children? Where did you live? What house? Where was your house located?
We lived over here lived in the house over here at the Forks Road where Ann Beer lives now. We lived there from 56 to 1964, and then we sold that and moved up to on north on 252 to what was originally the Beard House, Annie Beard House.
And whose house was that originally?
Miss Annie Beard lived there. It was I think that was Joseph Beard House.
Okay.
And
when you were in the house that Ann lives in now, is that when he was in the dairy?
Yeah, chickens and dairy.
Chickens mm-hmm. and dairy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And after he got out of that,
sold candy for some candy company, and then he went to work at plants for a long time.
Okay. Okay, you were talking a few minutes ago about how when you got out of school you had to help at home and help on the farm, and we've got a question here that they want to know when mechanization first came to the farm and how it affected the farming operations. Do you remember anything about that, or was it pretty much mechanized by the time?
No, most of the time while I was still at home, we used horses and milked cows by hand and things. It was, I think maybe before I left, we might have had one tractor. But
so you remember the horses?
Oh yeah, oh yeah, mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
And was it cattle? But you had dairy cows too?
No, not dairy. We just had
beef cattle.
Beef cow, and we also raised sheep too, part of the time.
How many animals
did
you
have?
Was it a bunch of them, or?
Well, I guess probably a good many. I wouldn't see much.
And you had to help. You milked and
yeah. Mm-hmm. We raised, of course. Then we raised our own food. We always had a couple big gardens or a big garden and another patch somewhere, and had to, you know, can in those days. You didn't have freezers, you had to can food.
That's I was going to ask you about the cannery. This might be a good time to to talk about that a little bit. Can you explain how that worked and where it was located? And
I don't know when it was open, and I don't know whether anybody's around now would know, but there was a school just before you going into Brownsburg, that where the colored children went to school, and after they took them into Lexington, there was a cannery opened up in that building.
And can you tell me now where that was as you're going into Brownsburg?
Just after you cross the bridge, and they're on your right,
on
going
right.
Now,
as you're going
south,
mm-hmm.
going into Brownsburg. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
And I don't know how many years it was in, you know, operation, but people from all around would come and can things in tin cans, which was a big help.
How did that work? They brought all the produce in, and
uh-huh.
and they did their own, or was somebody there?
You had somebody that kind of oversee. You had to do your own work. You had to do it, but you had somebody that overseed it, saw it, and then would make sure it was put in and cooked and processed like it was supposed to.
What kind of equipment did they have?
You had big long steam table vats, and then you had sailors, which I probably had to be run by hand at first, where they sealed the cans. And
would you do it one at a time, or
one can
at a time?
Mm-hmm. Probably had a couple, I think. I just kind of forgotten about that, but I know they had more than one the big vats where you could, I guess, put your things, somebody else could put theirs. And it was, you know, I guess fired by, well, they fired it. It would have to be water going through steam probably mm-hmm. to keep it hot. Because it had to reach a certain temperature to, I remember one of my fondest memories, and now many days, but we made plum puddings, which were mixed up, and I remember you had to put those in the water and let them raise and then seal them and process them.
And you put those in cans?
Mm-hmm. In the tin cans. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you don't remember what years this was?
It was evidently those the early 50s.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't remember after we were, you know, well, I know we did go to the other ones. To do the plum puddings and soup mixture and stuff, the other. And Spotswood had one and Middlebrook had one, but this one in here I don't think lasted too long. The building wasn't in too good a shape, I don't think. Probably.
So it just.
Probably wasn't that good.
Lasted as long
yeah.
as the building did.
Mm-hmm, probably.
Okay. All right. Can you tell me a little bit about what you remember from church when you were small? Tell me the church that you attended and what sort of activities you all participated in the church.
I remember going to Sunday school at a very, I guess, early age. We were always taken to go. And one of my earliest, fondest memories was of Miss Sally McClung, who taught us, and also Mrs. Trenton Beard was one of the teachers. And then later on, the minister's wife, Mrs. Locke White, was very good with us. I remember her, and just different ones. But then we grew up then. We had very active youth groups. We used to meet at the church, well, on Sunday nights, and then a couple nights a week we met at the church and played ball. The young people and the younger adults played out there also.
This is New Providence.
New Providence. We with New Providence Presbyterian Church. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Were they still having the Chrysanthemum Festival? Do you remember any of that? When you were little.
I remember a little bit about being there, but not much.
Not working.
No, not. But then we when I came along then. We had to, what was the lawn party? We used to do those.
Was that a meal or just that
was
ice
a,
cream?
It was a, we'd always a dinner, it was a dinner. I think we started like 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and they had ham and fried chicken and potato salad and beans and well, everything goes with it.
And was this just once a year?
Once a year, and we'd feed, well, lots. I could look that up too, how many. Fed a lot of people. People from town would come out to eat.
So was this a money making?
Yeah, it was a money making for the women of the church.
In the church. And what time period are we talking about?
I think like July, August in the summertime.
And how long did they do that?
I'm not sure. But I know, I'm not sure. Yeah. But I always, one of the things is that, you know, a lot of the families did not have a lot of resources then, but they always could give you some, you know, a chicken or a ham or food or something to help with that.
Did they, and they did the ice cream?
I made homemade ice cream and cake.
Those big freezers?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, the big 5 gallon one and then the 2 gallon ones they bought.
You mentioned Mrs. White, you enjoyed her as a Sunday school teacher. Do you have a favorite minister or somebody you could tell us about?
Not really. With him, you know, some of them I don't remember real well. I guess I was old and remembered Dr. White, and then I'm not sure what time frame Dr. Walfall was here, but he left and went in service. And then,
it's hard to remember.
Dr. Hutchison, he was here, we're very fond of him and Ms. Hutchison both. Ms. Hutchison was, after I finished school, I started going to the circle with Mother. And that's always been one of the highlights of my life, with being with these older ladies and the tales that they used to tell about things. And I carry some very fond memories of them.
And was that the White's Hill Circle?
No, it was called the Church Circle.
The Church Circle.
It was supposed to be in the Church Circle.
How many circles did they have then?
At that time, we had 7.
Wow.
Then there is, it was a Newport and the church and Rayfield Road, Fairfield Road, Brownsburg and White's Hill. And then I think Mrs. White may have been the instigator of getting the night circle.
Awesome.
For the women who then were beginning to go to work and couldn't, go in daytime.
So with 7 circles, you could really put on a big deal, like the lawn party.
Oh yeah, and then all of the women. I mean, you had a lot of women then. Mm-hmm. I mean, that could, you know, come and.
How many people came to church when you were young? Was it still really big
then? I think it was right. It was a right good sized church then. Yeah.
What about Bible school? Did they have Bible school?
Yeah, we had Bible school. Yeah, we. Some of them used to run trucks, and then they would get the my father and Mr. Wiseman had school buses, and they ran them and picked up the kids and brought them. We had big Bible schools back then. It was 2 weeks in the summertime, in the mornings.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it was fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, well, can you tell me a little bit about the town of Brownsburg, like what sort of stores and
well, I guess after
businesses that you not, remember.
Actually, my first memories of Brownsburg, but later on, going up while I was still in school, you had what was the Supanger store, which later became Swope's store. And across the street, where Dick Barnes is now, was the Rockbridge Farmers Co-op. And I'm not sure, but I think before that, the Whipples had a store there. And I think I've heard Sid talk about the Woodies that went to Lexington, had owned it first.
And that's where Dick lives,
uh-huh.
where his
yeah,
house
that,
is.
Yeah, where his bedroom is. Yeah, uh-huh. that's the end,
uh-huh.
which they, of course, redone. And then, of course, up across the street then was the bank. And then we used to go up in there with telephone office up over there. We'd go up there and talk to people and visit with the Wade sisters. And then across the street was the Huffman store. And used to go in there a lot. And then,
what sort of, did they have different merchandise at different stores, or was it just mostly general merchandise at all the stores?
I think you'd say general, but I guess the co-op had more with farming and feed. The other ones had more, I guess, of course they had to carry some feed, I guess, too, but mostly groceries, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go on up then Weitzel's. I'm not sure exactly when they opened their store, but then Weitzel's had the grocery store. And they had gas, and Huffman's had gas.
Weitzel's had gas, too?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So did you do most of your shopping in Brownsburg, or would you go to Stanton or Lexington?
Well, we did go by a lot. I mean, you go get, I remember we took, Daddy took wheat places and had it ground into flour, because Mother made all the bread. And but I guess we just probably went and got probably coffee and sugar,
just what you needed.
Like
where that. did he go to Wade's Mill or one of the other mills?
I'm not sure exactly, but I remember in later years I guess those had closed up. But taking flour myself down to Swope Mill and down next to Stanton, and getting
mm-hmm.
it ground. The other ones, I'm sure he went to the mills around here to start with.
Mm-hmm.
And,
okay, do you have any people who stand out as in your memory as more memorable than others? Characters or people that made an impression on you while you were growing up?
Well, like I said before, Molly, I've always been close to Molly Sue, and then some of them in the church, like I said, Miss Margaret Wade was always a good one to talk to and remember things. And Miss Buchanan, Liv Ward.
Well, tell me a little bit about like Margaret Wade. What? Tell me a little something about her.
She worked in the bank, and then she lived at home and took care also of her invalid sisters. And she's a very good person, a very good Bible teacher, I remember.
Yeah, was
church
this,
leader.
Did she live, are you talking about the house out of Brownsburg or
the house on Sterrett Road
that Phil Lunsford lives in?
No, that's Miss Buchanan.
Oh, that's Miss
Buchanan. The other ones were
the Jones
where
Margaret Norris Jones lived.
And
who else did you mention? Miss Buchanan. Who was she?
She taught school. She taught me in school, and she moved in there after her husband died. She had one daughter, Eliza, and she grew up in there, and I guess she lived there most of her life then.
Where did she live? What house did she live in?
Where Phil is.
Okay, that's...
Yeah, that's one, yeah, mm-hmm.
Okay.
And Miss Ward lived there in the house that's being redone now. And,
tell me a little bit about her.
Miss Ward?
Mm-hmm.
She taught school. She, how we're doing on time, and started out, I think, out in Highland, and then taught around a lot of places, and then she came to Brownsburg then and taught for many years. And she's always very nice to me. We got along, and then...
What grade did she teach?
First grade.
She was first grade. Grade.
Mm-hmm. And then she moved to Sunnyside and lived the rest of her life down there.
I know you've, I know that some of her recipes you had given to
yeah.
the, church cook. Was she a good cook?
Yes,
was
she cooked, and I always thought, well, she was a good example because Mac and I would mow her grass, and she always had lunch. We always had to eat with her. And I thought, well, she always cooked, but I think she got to a place where she didn't, and I haven't followed her as well. I don't cook either. But she did. She was, she was a good cook.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you remember anything about World War II? You were very young, but...
I had several first cousins who were in the Marines, and I remember the air raids, so we'd go to the church and watch for planes, or couldn't burn lights, we had to cover up the windows.
So how did they have an air raid horn or a signal, or how did you know to go to the church?
I don't know. I guess somebody called or something, probably. But I just vaguely, mm-hmm. not a lot about it, but I can remember some of it.
Did it affect your life at all? Do you remember any of the rationing or anything?
Oh, yeah. Gas was rationing. And then during that time, Daddy went up to Washington and drove a taxi cab to help make...
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
So he left home?
Mm-hmm. And then Mother...
Often would he come home?
Probably not very often because of the distance and stuff.
And how long did he do that?
I'm not sure. A year or 2 years
ago. So who took care of the farm?
I guess we just did the best we could. And, I guess anything big, somebody came in and helped.
I don't guess you remember the Depression. Do you remember anything? What about electricity? Do you always remember electricity?
No, no. Okay. We were like good sized kids, I guess, before we ever got electricity in there. I can't tell you the year, but Milton could probably have done that one before, I'm sure it was before we got out of high school, but we were still down, and I remember the studying by lamps.
Just kerosene lamps?
Yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
What about phones? Did you always have a phone?
Yeah, we always had a phone. Mm-hmm.
And was it a party line?
Yeah, it was on there. Yeah.
You have to be connected by the...
You have to go through the switch.
Operator.
One long and a short, two shorts and long or something like that. And sometimes we needed to make calls. We'd go into the phone in there and make them. But we always had phones, yeah. Mm-hmm. I remember that.
What about cars? Did you always have a car?
Yes, well, as I remember, we always had a car. Mm-hmm.
Do you remember what you had?
I would say Fords, I think, Fords? For a long time.
When did you learn to drive?
I was out of high school before I learned to drive. I learned out on the farm, driving the truck, putting up hay. And I can't think what year I got my permit.
What about the train? Did you ever ride the train?
Oh yeah, we like I said, Daddy went up to Washington, and he also had three brothers that lived up there, and Mother had a brother and a sister. So if they came down, it was a big treat for us to go back to with them. And one time I remember riding the train home to Stanton. Mm-hmm.
What about newspapers, or how did you all keep up with what was going on in the county?
We had a radio at one time. That had batteries, or whether it was after we got electricity, but I know one we did.
And so you could listen to the radio.
Yeah. And I don't remember I don't remember about newspapers that far.
Do you remember, did you have favorite radio shows or anything like that you listened to, or did you just use it mainly for the news?
Well, we talked about Amos and Andy and a couple of others like that. We probably didn't listen, because we had, work to do. We didn't have a
Too
lot
busy.
Of free time. We had to, helping the garden and picking the summertime pick berries and help Mama to can and always had the cows to milk and the chickens to feed and eggs together.
And everybody, did everybody help? All the children help on the farm?
Well, not out on the farm. My sister, she stayed inside. She never helped outside any. I'll get a start on that either. And
we'll leave that for the day.
And then, of course, when I finished school in 51, and my younger brother finished in 52, and he went immediately in the Navy. And then Milton must have gone in the Air Force about 1954, because I know he was in there when Sid and I were married.
Oh, okay. So he went in and...
Yeah, he
How long did he stay in the Air Force?
I'd say probably 8-10 years, I'm not sure.
And were your parents were still on the farm?
Oh, yeah.
So when he got out, he came back to the farm.
Yeah, he came back. Mm-hmm.
So he just took over.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, we talked about the phone company. Tell me a little bit about how you got started, how you got to be such a hostess with your catering and cooking and all of that.
I guess it's just something that I got, I always liked to, I didn't know too much about cooking when I got married, but I guess then I learned to cook and really liked to cook, and I guess when I really started off was when Beth got married, and I did her reception, 1 or 2, and then from then on things just kind of...
So it's just in the last 25 or 30 years?
Well, Beth was married in 79.
Almost 30
years. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And things just, people say, well, you fix this and do that. And it was just, and then when Sid wasn't well then, it was something I could do to fix things, bacon things for people, and
right.
still be with him, watch
right.
him.
Did you teach yourself to cook?
Yep.
Just sort of trial and error?
With him, and, just learned to do things.
If he liked it, you cooked it again, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, what stands out in your memory is the most significant event that's happened in Brownsburg during your lifetime?
I'm not, I guess, back then, that was kind of the, people went there, everything was in the school, we had plays and dances in there, and it was no other place to, it was kind of the center of the community.
Mm-hmm.
And ball games, having our ball games and things like that. I had a lot of, I went to school in there 12 years, and I don't know how many of us started when we were the 7th grade. For years, the kids from Rock Ridge Baths came in there for the high school. They just had the grade school up there. And
so it was Rock Ridge Baths and Brownsburg.
Yeah, came in there.
In this area.
Mm-hmm. And
how many people were in your graduating class? Do you
27.
Remember?
27.
So.
And,
were you in school when the new school was dedicated?
It was open the year before I started.
The year before?
Mm-hmm. It was 38,
That was quite an event, I would think, for the community. The governor was here.
Yeah,
and
I had big ones.
Senator Byrd was here. So.
Yeah. Another thing, some of the people might, when talking about my teachers, she was Margaret, she was Margaret Buchanan, and she married Bates, and then later she married Sid's uncle Jim Martin. But she taught me in the 7th grade. Fred was in service, I think, and she taught us in the 7th grade, and I was always very close to her and always kept up with her down through the years. And
that's Buck and Roberta's.
Buck, that's Buck and Roberta's mother.
Mm-hmm. And did the seventh grade teacher, was it all one class or did you change
it was
change
it was all stayed it was all up through the eighth grade we stayed in I think one class, and then the high school changed.
Mm-hmm. And so she was one of your favorite teachers.
Yeah, she was one of my favorite teachers. And also one time I don't know what grade I was in, I don't think I was too old, but somehow or another I think I was the wrong place, wrong time, and got caught throwing a snowball, and I had to go to the principal's office, and that was very...
Who was the principal?
At that time it was Miss Trimmer.
Miss Trimmer. I've heard stories about Miss Trimmer. What do you remember about her?
Well, I think if we'd had a few more her around, kids might not be, but she's very strict, very disciplined, but I think she's
fair.
A well-liked person, mm-hmm. as well as I remember. I forgot what grade she left then, what grade I was in.
So she wasn't there the entire time.
No.
She must have been quite a character, because I think everybody that's been interviewed has mentioned
about her. Well, the Saturday night fights and the Saturday night shootings and the stuff. And
do you remember any of those?
Not enough to, comment on until we, get somebody else who would bring back some of it.
Do you ever remember going to Brownsburg on Saturday nights?
Oh, yeah. I guess when I was probably in high school, maybe after I finished, we didn't have TV, and Daddy would go into... He was always going to Huffman's and watch the wrestling on TV, and I could go up school life to things.
So you had a ride.
Yeah, mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm. He was always willing to go in there because he could do that when the store.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and go to things.
We were talking about the barber shop. Did you get your hair cut at the barber shop, or did you go to a beauty shop, or did your mom cut it, or how did you?
I'm not exactly sure who did, because one time I wanted it cut and they wouldn't take me to get it cut forever or do it, and I cut it myself, and I ended up wearing a hat, a scarf to school for weeks.
Didn't do a very good job.
Time they straightened it up, it's pretty short.
Not much left. do you know if you had any Revolutionary War or Civil War soldiers in your family? Do you remember hearing your family history?
I'm not sure, but I think, I don't know. I don't think I better go there.
Okay, what about, were there many blacks that lived in Brownsburg? Do you remember?
I think there, oh yeah. Willie Harry Pleasant, which is Betty Brown's dad, lived out on Irvin's Hill, but then there were some of them down the Craneys, and that was Francis Porterfield's mother and daddy, the Craneys, and Franklin's lived over here and worked for Sid's mother, Dan Franklin and them. Sid grew up with them, and the ones over on the hill, Browns and all mm-hmm. of them.
Yeah. Now where's Irvin's Hill? You said
that's out there where Lou Dole is. That was
okay.
Irvin's. Her mother was Irvin's. See, and they owned that. That's what they call it. Just like.
So he worked for them.
He drove. And I'm sure he drove school bus and. I think cleaned the schools or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Strains lived over here, and that was Strains Hill there above Rocky Lane. You knew sections and all by names of people who lived there.
Right.
And,
so did you all have much to do with them, or just knew that they were around?
As far as I think we got along very well with them. course, this wasn't in Brownsburg, but we several times had a colored men that helped at home, helped Daddy and Mama mm-hmm. with the farming and stuff. And one of them, Raleigh Price, sat on his lap and twisted his mustache. They were all, you know, good to us. They, you know, yeah. I grew up with colored children, yeah. more or less. And then there was another family, Johnson's, I think, that helped us. And my aunt had a colored band that lived there and worked, cooked for them for years. So I more or less grew up with them, more, you know.
So you had nice, had friendly relations.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What about doctors? Do you remember anything about the doctors in Brownsville?
Dr. Bailey, I remember very vaguely. And then Dr. Williams, I guess, came. And then Dr. Taylor.
And where were their offices?
As well as I remember, Dr. Bailey and Dr. Williams had their offices under in the basement there where Ag Patterson lives now. And then Dr. Taylor was up where Dick Barnes lives, had them up over there.
Upstairs?
Where you go in up, well, it was a porch and go in up in that upstairs part, or the back part.
And do you remember seeing the doctor very often, or did you just... knew he was there.
I remember back, and I don't know how old I was this, but there was one across there from Virginia Weitzel's. Now what was it? As well as I can remember, going into the basement of the where the Andersons live now, and was vaccinated by Mrs. Mars. And we went there, I think, several times for things like that. And then later years, then, I guess that must have been for another doctor, although Dr. Bailey was in there early. But Dr. Bailey came, and then Dr. Williams, and then Dr. Taylor mm-hmm. was the last one that was in there.
And you said you'd stepped on a pitchfork?
No, I ran a pitchfork down the side of my foot.
Oh my goodness. So what'd they do, give you a...
He had to take a knife and slit it so it would bleed, because it never bled that much, and then he gave me a shot.
Goodness. How old were you?
I was old enough to know better. Well, I was right besides wagon, because we were putting up, I mean, that's when you had to pitch the hay up on the wagons with the pitchfork. And I was right good size with that.
And you said you were vaccinated. What were they vaccinating you for? Was that smallpox?
Probably what they call now. Well, you had to be vaccinated to go to school.
Yeah. And polio, I guess, they didn't have that then.
It got bad several times when we were in school.
Yeah.
Boat breaks up.
With polio?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You said you were born at home. Did your mom have a midwife, or did a doctor attend her, or do you remember anything about?
I don't remember them, although she may have had the doctor, because I'm pretty the doctor was in there then, because I remember him talking about Bud was born like the end of September, and Liv was born the 4th of October, and I think that the doctor
just taking the rounds.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What about the animals? How did your dad doctor the animals, or was there a vet around, or how did they take care of their...
Pretty much back then they did, although I remember in later years it was Dr. Plummer in Stanton was veterinarian. I guess we maybe went things, but I think they pretty much had to take care of their everything. Yeah.
What about Christmas when you were growing up? How did you all celebrate Christmas?
I don't have too many memories of, because I guess we didn't have a whole lot. I mean, I guess we always, you know, celebrated in some way, but...
Don't remember a tree or anything like that?
Well, later years, I remember we had trees, we had lights, but we were right good size then, I think.
Did you cut it off the farm?
Oh, I'm sure we did. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What about at church? Did they have like a Christmas Eve service or anything like that?
I don't think we ever did, you know, it's been later years that we did those. Mm-hmm. I guess, you know, some of the main things at the church, you know, was at chrysanthemum shows and then the lawn parties.
What did the women do with the money that they made? What sort of?
I guess just probably missions and things, yeah. Just general purposes probably.
They didn't really have any big projects at the church that they...
Well, they moved the kitchen one. I guess they did do some fixing up with the kitchen and things, you know, mm-hmm. taking care of things like that. Would be one of their projects.
Is there anything else you can think of that you haven't told me that you might want to share with us?
Not right off. It's time to get down the road, I probably think of something. But,
this has been fun. I've enjoyed it. And can you think of anybody else we could talk to that might have something to tell about Brownsburg? Any of your friends or relatives?
Not right off, because I don't have, there's a lot of people around anymore that really actually, you know, grew up.
That can remember.
Or would remember that lived that close all their, you know, they kind of come and went. Came and went, I guess.
What about your mail? Did you have mail delivery at home?
Yeah, we had mail. Mm-hmm.
Was it Raphine then too, or, mm-hmm. or so? It's always been mm-hmm. just in Brownsburg. The mm-hmm. people that live in Brownsburg mm-hmm. had the
mm-hmm.
delivery there.
Mm-hmm. And well, one thing we used to different ones hauled cream to Stanton a couple times a week, and sometimes we needed to go to town. Of course, they were older then. We'd catch a ride with them and go to Stanton.
How would you get home?
Come back with them, I guess. They'd be down there long enough. You'd come back with them.
They'd just mm-hmm. take you and let you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I guess.
Yeah.
and I think caught the mailman and would ride with them places. Maybe back then you could do things like that.
Did they just delivered in their own car, just mm-hmm. the way they do now? Mm-hmm. Tell me about who some of your classmates were at Brownsburg. Are any of them still around?
Curtis Carroll lives in Roanoke. Leonard Cash lives over at Greenville. Herman Ritchie, he's at Fairfield. Tommy Anderson lives up at the Baths. Of course, he came from Rockbridge Baths. Virginia Smiley, who lives beyond Greenville now, she grew up back in the Pisky section.
And is that Virginia from church?
Mm-hmm.
She
and I think Charles Sweet's still living. And Odie and Betty McCray. He probably went to the Baths and came to Brownsburg. Then Betty's family moved here later years and finished with us. Mac McCrail, I think, well, he's moved away from Lexington now. With the Norcross girl, but she's deceased now. And
so really, you're one of the only ones still around.
Close, really.
Here.
I remember also growing up, the New Providence Church had chapels in the area, and then there was one back in Pisky, and Daddy for a number of years was the superintendent, and we used to get to go back there with him, and always
And where was that? Where was the
where
chapel?
Where the studio is
where
now.
The chapel mm-hmm. is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That is the
That's
was
it.
The
chapel. Mm-hmm.
And they had that for the people who couldn't get to?
Yeah.
Couldn't
mm-hmm.
get to?
Back in that area.
Mm-hmm. How many people would they have?
There's a good many because there were big families. Mm-hmm. A lot of them had big families. And you don't make food now. You go back there when they had a picnic. And you
So, how long was it around?
They probably closed it out in the probably late 50s, early 60s.
And how would they? Did they have Sunday school?
Yeah, we'd have Sunday school, and then they'd have. I guess they'd had. I know he went back and had. They may not have had preaching, but I know they went and had Sunday school.
I was wondering how the preacher worked. If he went back there during Sunday school.
Yeah, I was wondering if they just went and had Sunday school. Because this was in the afternoon.
Oh, it was in the
and
afternoon.
And then there were, that was the last one. There used to be one, what was called McNutt's Chapel down here on the other Dutch Hollow Road. And
where was that?
Before we get to where Mac Lotsley, Mac and Old live.
Dutch
up Hollow.
I was thinking about my Dutch Hollow.
I see the other Dutch Hollow.
And that was a New Providence mm-hmm. outpost?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What about, when did you start driving the school bus?
After I got my permit, I drove for Daddy, because he had school bus, and then I substituted for Big Al Reese, and then Janet, after she started driving, I substituted for them, and then I think I started around 1970 or 71 driving.
So your dad, how long did your dad drive the school bus?
He was driving before I finished. He had the bus in. I'm not sure. Because I think Milton drove a couple years before the county bought him out then.
So he had his own bus?
Yeah, they were private owned, yeah.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. They were all private owned buses.
So where did he go to get it? I mean, where did you buy a school?
I think Indiana made, they were, some made in Indiana, and maybe North Carolina.
And the school just contracted with them to drive the buses?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah. And then I remember when I started driving, which was a number of years after they had given the bus up, the county taking them over, they were, I think, paying me more then to drive than what they were paying him to keep the bus up and expenses and everything. So I know they didn't make that much.
What was his route? Where did he go?
He went through Pisgah and one time, and then I'm not sure where else with that road. And then one time he ran up Goose Creek round, coming out through Racine. One time he ran Bustleburg. It was just different ways, and then who gave up a ride or what.
Uh-huh. How many, you don't know how many they had?
Probably at least, I think, five. Mr. Wiseman, Will Swisher, and Uncle Ike, which is, Uncle Kite, which like Virginia's daddy, and Janice's daddy and mother both drove.
Really?
Mm-hmm. And, yeah. Not Kite. Kite carried the mail. It was the other one, Tuck. Swisher drove the Tuckway drove the bus.
A lot of weights driving the bus.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let me see if there's anything else I need to. I guess not. Thank you, Dot. I appreciate
You're
this.
Welcome.
This was fun.
I hope it makes sense.